Well, I love these Sundays because we get to do something that is actually profoundly spiritual. But yet in the same way, it's something very simple and physical. We're about to dunk people into this water here. That's the simple part about baptism. But baptism represents something so much deeper. And really, it's a mystery. Baptism into water demonstrates that we have spiritual union with Christ, that if Jesus has died, we have died with him. If Jesus has been raised, we have been raised with him. We are one in Christ. And so what I like to say about baptism is that it is an outward physical expression of an inward spiritual reality. Let me say that a little bit more simply. Baptism shows on the outside what is true on the inside. For the person who has been saved by Jesus, Jesus has come into their life, taking up residence, being born again by the Spirit of God. There's this personal relationship that they have where they know that they know that they know that they belong to Jesus. There's something going on right there in the inner being of that person. And yet what baptism does is it displays on the outside so that everyone can see it and know it. And so the people being baptized today, they've been saved by Jesus. You must be saved before being baptized. We like to say that the reason why we know baptism doesn't save you is if it did, what we would do, last night we had our holiday parade coming down here. We would have put roadblocks and pulled people in and dunked them and said, okay, you can go on your way. You're saved now, right? So baptism doesn't save you. It is faith in Jesus that saves a person. And it's his grace that comes upon us because there's nothing that you can do to be saved. You can't earn your belonging to Jesus, but you can demonstrate it. You can show it in this outward way. And so the person who has been saved by Jesus has been saved by believing with faith that he died on a cross for their sins and that he was buried, but 3 days later he rose from the dead to give them new and eternal life. And so there's a few people here today who want to demonstrate that has happened in their own lives. And so being baptized is so special. In fact, it's so special that do you realize it's actually something Jesus himself did. Jesus was baptized and he tells his followers to do it as well. You know, the Great Commission, we know within that, he said that we are to go and make disciples. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is a command of Jesus. Notice it's called the Great Commission, not the Great Recommendation, right? And so this is something that we're told to do. Now, what we're gonna do for those being baptized, we'll bring you up, we're gonna pray for you, we're gonna baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're gonna ask you a simple question, do you love Jesus? And I love that simple question because for the person who has been saved, they know the love that they have for him. Jesus says, and the Bible says actually 20 times in the Bible, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so baptism is a command, and if you love Jesus, then baptism is for you. Now, like I said, baptism demonstrates our union with Christ. And so when the person goes down into the water, what they're saying is that they have died with Jesus. That the life they used to live, their former life of sin and being separated from God, it goes into the water as if it's going into the grave, and it stays there. And coming up out of the water, you're demonstrating that you have a new life in Jesus Christ, resurrection life that belongs to you because you've put faith in Jesus. And so coming up out of the water, you're showing that you're a new creation, that you've got this new and eternal life that you get to live because you know Jesus. So that's really what baptism is. And so I think everyone's settled in now. And what we're gonna do is go through now the book of Acts. We're gonna read some different scriptures and follow along with me. And we're gonna look at some pretty simple things like who got baptized, when did they get baptized, how did they get baptized, and why did they get baptized. Those are the things we wanna look at as now we look at every instance of baptism in the book of Acts. So if you've got fast fingers and you wanna turn in your pages, in your Bible, or you've got your phone out and you wanna follow along these verses, that's great. Otherwise, the verses will be up on the screen And so let's start off with the first one, which is the baptisms that took place on the day of Pentecost, the day that the church was born. So this takes place in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 41, and this is what it says. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. All right, so first, who got baptized on this day? Well, it was 3,000 Jewish people who were gathered in Jerusalem on the day when the Spirit of God was sent from heaven to earth to fill his disciples. This was the beginning of the new covenant, as we've studied in the book of Acts. And so when did it happen? Well, it happened again on the day of Pentecost, when many people believed at the preaching of the gospel from Peter. And so how did it happen? Well, again, it happened as a response to the gospel message. After the Spirit of God came upon the 120 disciples gathered in the upper room, and they all began to speak in tongues and worship and extol the Lord, Peter got up and preached a message, and 3,000 people were cut to the heart. They repented of their sins, they believed in Jesus, and they got baptized. And did you see that? There was about 3,000 of them. That's a lot of people. One time I was in Israel, and I got the opportunity to baptize people in the Jordan River, which is the river that Jesus himself was baptized. And we baptized around 300 people, and that was a lot. Took an afternoon. Can't imagine 3,000 people getting baptized. So maybe it happened in some body of water, maybe the Brook Kidron that was near the Temple Mount. We don't know exactly where it took place, but whatever it was, there was a lot of people, and they did it because they had faith in Jesus Christ. The second baptism that we see take place is with the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, verse 12 through 17. This is as the gospel is now spreading beyond Jerusalem into the next sort of surrounding region. To the Samaritans were those half-Jewish people. It says this, "But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip." So who got baptized on that day? Well, there were men and women who were living in Samaria, and they got baptized. But there was also a man named Simon. I like that it says, even Simon got baptized. Because if you remember, if you were with us when we studied, Simon was a sorcerer, a person who was deceiving people with his magic tricks in Samaria. And he began to, he heard Philip preaching, and he believed the message, and he got baptized. Unfortunately, what's shown later is Simon's faith is brought into question in terms of what were his motives and what was his sincerity when he got baptized. But even in that, we see that Philip still baptized him. He made a confession of faith, and even if there were wrong motives, he still was one who was baptized. This happened again after the gospel message was preached and people believed. How did it happen? Well, some kind of water was nearby, and they used that. And then again, why did it happen? Because these people trusted in Jesus. They believed in him as Lord. They wanted to enter the kingdom of God. The next baptism we see also takes place in Acts chapter 8, also as Philip is continuing on in his ministry. This is with the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?'" That might be a question you ask yourself today. What prevents me from being baptized? Look, there's some water. And if you're here today, you've never been baptized. Look, here's some water. "And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. So this man, who was an Ethiopian, who was a eunuch, he was an official, a governing official, and he found some interest in reading the Bible. And he was reading the Bible one day as he's traveling along in his chariots, and Philip is nearby, and he sees that this man's reading, and he hops into his chariot with him, and he's like, hey, what you reading? And he was reading from Isaiah 53, and that is when Philip began to explain in more fullness what that scripture meant and how it all pointed to Jesus, and that's when the eunuch believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he stopped the chariot. He's like, we need to find some water. And I like this because it's almost as if, I picture it like some muddy puddle on the side of the road is how I picture that. You know, we baptize in a little metal horse trough here. So it just needs to be some water. And the Ethiopian was baptized. The next person that we see in the book of Acts to get baptized happens in Acts chapter 9. This is in verses 17 and 18 when Saul of Tarsus, also known as the Apostle Paul, gets baptized. It says this. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. So Saul was a Pharisee, one who was en route to Damascus to persecute the disciples of Jesus until the risen Christ appeared to him on that road, stopped him in his tracks, and he was blinded. God met him. He said, why are you persecuting me? Saul went the rest of the way until he arrived in Damascus and went to a house on a street called Straight until God sent to him Ananias. And when Ananias found him, it says he went in, he laid hands on him, and he regained his sight, and then immediately he was baptized. And so who was it? It was Saul. When did it happen? Happened 3 days after Jesus met him. How did it happen? Ananias found him and found some water. And why did it happen? It's because Saul was showing that he was parting from his sinful past. He was going from being a persecutor of the church to proclaiming that he's a follower of Jesus. The next baptism we see takes place in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 48, when even the Gentiles believe and are baptized. This is when Cornelius and his household are baptized. We just studied this recently. It said, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? I like how often in the book of Acts, the people are like, where's some water? And then it says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Notice it doesn't say he suggested that they get baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked him to remain for some days. So who got baptized? Well, this was Cornelius, a Roman governing official, and his whole household. If you remember when we were studying this chapter, there was that household of people that were just waiting for Peter to say, tell us all the things that the Lord has shown you. We want to hear it. And when they heard, the Spirit of God came upon them. They were born again. And in the same way that the Spirit of God came upon the Jews, the Spirit of God came upon the Gentiles. And Peter says, what's preventing them from being baptized? Where's some water? And I notice this again, is that Peter wanted to find water right away. They didn't wait. And so this was an act of obedience to the command of Jesus. And it also demonstrated the Gentiles' inclusion into God's plan of grace. And so the next baptism we see takes place in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. This is when Lydia and her household get baptized. Acts 16, verse 13 through 15 says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside." What's at a riverside? Some water. "Where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. She opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." So Lydia was a wealthy businesswoman. She made a lot of money selling purple goods, which was high-end clothing, essentially. And she was gathering by the riverside with some women, and she had a household. She had many people around her, and they were all baptized on that day. They were baptized after they heard the message that Paul preached about Jesus and about the kingdom of God. And most likely, they were baptized right there in that river. That water that was just right there immediately after hearing the gospel message. And the reason for why they were baptized, it says that their hearts were opened to the message of Jesus, which is just a really beautiful way of saying they were receptive to what they had heard, and they believed in Jesus, and they were baptized. The next baptism takes place also in Acts chapter 16, also in the city of Philippi, when a jailer and his household get saved. This is Acts 16, verse 30 to 34. "Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Isn't that a good question? What do I need to do to be saved? Notice they don't say, "Get baptized." This is what they say when he asks, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour in the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And so this is this jail warden who was supposed to keep a watch on Paul and Silas while they were in prison, and yet an earthquake came and broke the prison doors open because God released them. And just as soon as the Philippian jailer thought he had failed miserably to do his job and was about to commit suicide, the apostle stopped him and said, "Don't do it." And that's when he asked the question, "What should I do to be saved?" And they gave him the gospel message, and immediately after believing, in the middle of the night, with some kind of water, the guy gets baptized, he and all his household. The reason he did this, again, is a response to belief in Jesus and the newfound joy of salvation. Another baptism that takes place is in Acts chapter 18, verse 8. This is with a guy named Crispus and his household and many people who were living in the city of Corinth. It says, "Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized." So Crispus was a synagogue leader, basically a leader within the Jewish gathering places, and many people living in the city of Corinth also got baptized. Again, very simply, when did it happen? It happened after these people heard the gospel message preached from Paul, and they believed his words. They believed that Jesus is Lord of all. How'd they get baptized? Again, some water, found water somewhere. And why? To show that they believed in Jesus. And then there's one final case of baptism in the book of Acts, and this takes place in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. And this is an interesting one because this is like a rebaptism. There's some people in Ephesus, and you'll see what I mean by that. These were some disciples of John the Baptist who end up getting baptized. It says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what then were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. There were about 12 men in all. So there's these 12 men who are said to be disciples of John. John is the cousin of Jesus, the one who actually baptized Jesus himself. But John was a forerunner to Christ. He prepared the way for Jesus to come. Even when John was baptizing, he saw Jesus walking near the banks of the Jordan. He pointed to his disciples and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Basically, once Jesus arrived, he said, "Don't follow me anymore, follow that guy." Even when Jesus was being baptized by John, John says, "Me baptize you? You should baptize me." But Jesus got baptized because he wanted to identify with us in our humanity. Which reminds me again that Jesus got baptized, and what a spectacular day that was. The Father was present saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Spirit was present as he came down in the form of a dove, manifesting upon Jesus, showing that his power rested and remained upon him. And then Jesus himself was baptized. And so these disciples of John realized that there's something greater in Jesus, something that they were missing. And so they also got baptized in the name of Jesus to demonstrate that they believed in Jesus and that they believed that he is the one who takes away the sins of the world. Amen? Amen. So those are all the instances of baptism in the book of Acts. Now, real briefly, I have three consistent themes that I see throughout all of those testimonies. Number one is that faith comes before baptism. Belief in Jesus Christ is the central part of this whole thing. It's once a person comes to faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing that he died on a cross and rose from the dead, that is a person who is ready to be baptized. And then secondly, I see this theme that baptism was immediate. Did you notice that? It was immediately, right at once, that day. Certainly not this long, drawn-out sort of thing before someone gets baptized. As soon as a person believes, they're saved. And if a person is saved, then they should be baptized as an immediate response to their identification with Christ. No reason to wait. What's holding you back from being baptized? You think you need to be a better person before you get baptized? When was the gospel message ever about you becoming a better person before you receive what God has for you? And so if you're waiting for some reason, I don't know why, but it's interesting, I think in our times, our culture, our traditions, people wait so long before they'll get baptized. They've maybe you've been following Jesus for a few weeks and now's a good time. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a few years and you're not really sure. Now's a good time. Maybe you've been following Jesus for decades and you've never been baptized. Now's a good time. It's time for you to just simply obey what Jesus has commanded of you, because if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And then finally, this is an inclusive act. These baptism and acts show that it's for all people. They happen for individuals. It happened for households. Happened for people from all different diverse backgrounds. There were Jews baptized, Samaritans baptized, Gentiles baptized, men, women, children, whole households baptized. There were individuals baptized. There were groups baptized. Anyone who comes to the place of believing with faith that Jesus is Lord should be baptized at once. And maybe that's you here today. Two people this morning have already been baptized. We have three more who are at this service who have already decided they want to be baptized, and four at next service who are going to be baptized. So we're going to take that time now to baptize those who've made a decision to do this today. But maybe you're here today. You didn't sign up. You didn't prepare for this, but here's some water. What's holding you back? Even if right now God's been stirring in your heart, we can get you all prepped and ready. We've got some shirts, we've got some towels. We'll get you all set up for you to get baptized today. No reason for you to wait. Come and get baptized.